Ladies Trio, and thank you for the song selection of last night and tonight. I'm trying to think, was it yesterday morning? Yes. Short-term memory. But I appreciate the song selections they've chosen for the last couple of services, and grateful for them being able to come and sing tonight. Well, I'm excited about getting Dr. House right on. He may tell you a little bit about the table and the information and the materials that he has out on his table. Please take advantage of that, if you would, please. Also, sound men, let me mention the CDs from last night, tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Make sure that before Dr. House leaves on Wednesday that he has a set, okay, if you would, please, of the CDs from all four messages. Thank you very much. Well, listen, aren't you glad Dr. House is with us? 23 years consecutively he's been here with us, and the reason we have him back, because God has given him an ability to communicate in this area of stewardship. So, Dr. House, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. You come. Preach to us, brother.
Appreciate that. Thank you. I do want to say a word about the book table, because a preacher just run me off the platform last night before I got ready to leave. Yeah, he just come back and said, "You and your wife, get off." So I did what I was told. Stop by if you don't have the Bible reading guide and pick up a free Bible reading guide. Every Christian ought to read the Bible through every year. And this will allow you to do it 365 days, marked off with scripture reading. Take about 15 minutes a day, read it through. You say, "Well, I've got a good Bible reading guide." And no, but it doesn't have that picture. You need that. That's really nice. I was in Flint, Michigan years ago. I might have told you, but I can't remember, so it don't matter. And I standing at the book table back in the back, and I had asked folks to come by and pick them up, use them as a prayer reminder and Bible reading guide, and he come by and he said, "Let me have one of those things." He said, "I'm planting me a garden." You got a smart aleck in every church, except this one, of course, and so I just handed him one and said, "Good luck." I was back the next year, and he came back very humbly and said, "Could I have about a dozen of those?" I said, "Did they keep the crows out of your garden last year?" He said, "Keep them out, nothing." I said, "When they saw that picture, they brought back what they took off last year." So get you one of those. Don't miss it, all right? Lots of sermons on CDs out there. A good way to share the gospel. They're $5 each, or if you get five or more, they're $4 each. The Christian movies are there. They are Christian. They're made by Christians. Christian actors show someone receiving Christ, growing up in the Lord. And old Westerns mostly. They're $9 for two movies, or you can get all six movies for $22. And, of course, the classic Soul Winners New Testament for a soul-winning church like this. You know that every Christian ought to be a soul winner. And many are not, and it's not because of rebellion, but a little fear and a little lack of knowledge. There's 64 pages of helps in the back, actually one where you can just turn to it. And if you don't know a verse of Scripture, you can get God's help on your life, number one. And then number two, sit down with anybody that allows you to and say, "Follow along as I read this to you." And it's just Scripture after Scripture with application and showing you how to be saved. Assurance verses, baptismal verses, the whole ball of wax. And then there's some six CD albums out there on stewardship, a couple of different kinds. Stop and pick those up. Some of that stuff's got a lot of mileage on it now, and I'd like to get rid of it. So you could help me with that. All of the proceeds go to my favorite charity. She's sitting right over there. Miss Wanda. Somebody said I did not tell you she was here last night, but I did talk about her. But she is here. Wanda, stand up to make that guy happy, please. This is my wife, Wanda. Thank you. We celebrated our second anniversary last month, and you said it wouldn't last. Exodus chapter 20, please. Exodus chapter 20 and 1 Kings chapter 17, two scriptures. And if you stand up on both of these, I'm going to faint. Two scriptures. Exodus 20, 1 Kings 17. I'm not going to read from them as we normally would, so if I just read a verse, don't stand up, please. That way I won't get confused. Exodus chapter 20 and 1 Kings chapter 17. You find those places. Find Exodus chapter 20. Put your stringy thing in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we'll look at it in a moment. Now, there's some folks here that probably have been listening to me for 20-something years talk about give, and it shall be given unto thee. How many of you have been here all the way through? Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of you. You're just... And there could be some that have heard part of it, and years of it, and 10 years and so forth. And you say, you know, I'm tithing, and I'm giving, and I still just don't, I can't make ends meet. So I want to add some stuff this year. See, giving, and there's a tendency to misunderstand it if you're not careful. Giving is not some magical formula that will just correct all of your financial needs. You know, giving won't help your mind. And folks who get so far in debt they can't pay their bills are not in their right mind. Good way to lose a crowd right up front, isn't it? But you need to get your finances in order. In other words, just you know, the Bible does say, and it means what it says, give, and it shall be given to you. The Bible does say the tithe is the Lord's. We know that. But just tithing and giving will not of itself correct your financial mess. It just won't do it. So I want to give you some biblical commandments tonight and tomorrow night. And if you won't get, you know, if you won't get all bent out of shape with me, I'll just bounce them off the Ten Commandments. Would that be all right? You might as well say, yeah, that'd be good, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it's some really wonderful applications out of the Ten Commandments. And so we'll just get started and see how it goes, all right? Financial commandment number one, thou shalt honor the Lord first. Look, if you would, in Exodus 20 and verse 3, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, I think we can all get it. That means God first. There'll be no other gods before me. It's just simple, you see. And just plain enough. See? Now, with that in mind, you can see that just giving's not enough. There are some things you have to put first. 10% of your income, and the preacher's exactly right, of your gross. But that's not enough, you see. And somebody says, well, why does God do that? Well, you don't think it's about the money, do you? No, it's for us. It's not for him. It's for us. If you would, turn over to Proverbs 3:9. I'll read a very familiar two verses for you. Proverbs 3:9. It's just good to get it settled in our heart and our soul and our spirit. What this thing that makes money so important to God is all about. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and verse 10. Now, there's some words you need to pay attention to. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first fruits of all thine increase. There's no period there. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The way to plenty is to put God first. We need to understand that and realize that. And I know that we know it, but we miss it still somehow. Because we are reasonable people, like I talked about last night. And we do have common sense. And we don't want to get fanatical. And yet, over and over and over in the Bible, there's example after example after example of putting God first. Now, you're in 1 Kings chapter 17. So let's look at it for just a moment now. 1 Kings chapter 17. You know the story well that I want to show you. It's Elijah being fed at Zarephath. It's the most unusual, unusual story. The brook has dried up. We know the story. God sent him there to the brook. Everything's fine until the brook dries up. And the only reason the brook dried up was God had something better for him. And so he moves on down. God says, I've got a widow down there in that land, a widow to sustain thee. And so he goes down there, and sure enough, he meets the widow and begins to talk to her. And he says, you know, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. She goes to get the water, and it's an amazing thing. He said, make me, if you would, a morsel of bread. Bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she went into that very truthful statement. She said, I've got a handful of meal, a little oil in the cruse. I'm gathering up some sticks. We're going to make a little bread. My son and I are going to eat it and lay down and die. Not a good time to be asking me to give you anything. And he made her, he said a crazy thing. Look at verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me, the representative of God right here, the prophet, no completed scripture, no Bible. So he speaks in the place of God and says, make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Make me thereof a little cake first. Now that's just plumb crazy. The woman's starving, the boy's starving, and he comes in and says, you got enough for one cake? She said, yes. He said, well, make it for me. Bring it to me. Can you put yourself there? I mean, God begins to press our hearts to do right about giving, right about our tithe and our offering, and we look at it and we don't have enough for ourselves. And yet he puts that thing out, you see. And people say, well, Elijah's crazy. But you see what he tacked on to that thing? He said, and after make for thee and for thy son. Well, that's where common sense collides with spiritual sense. Now, common sense says there's not going to be anything left after I make it for you. Spiritual sense says, I don't see how it's going to work, but I've got a word, so I'm going to do it. Amazing thing. 3 years and 6 months passed. The drought continued. 3 years and 6 months passed. Not one drop of rain. And the meal barrel never failed. And the cruse of oil never failed. And she, the Bible says, and he and her house did eat. It's the most amazing thing, you see. God sent Elijah not to put the widow in desire and in distress, but to care for her. She needed to be taught one thing, put God first. We need the same lesson over and over and over. Put God first, you know. And it wasn't just finances. I really don't want to take the time tonight. Oh, I wouldn't mind doing it, but you really don't want me to explain to you that the life of the child was saved through this very instance of her putting God first. I mean, it's an amazing story, and sometimes you ought to spend some time on it, you know. But, you know, if God just showed up, appeared to you, and he said, you give me the first tenth of everything. You give me the first tenth. I'll stand at the door of your house, and I will keep the devil away from you. I will protect you. I'll see that you make more than you do now. You know, we'd be foolish not to take that deal. Well, he's done that. You can read it in Malachi chapter 3 and understand that the commandment is strong. Thou shalt have no other God before me, God said. Well, let's look at a second commandment. Verse 4, if you would, and following back to Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now I want you to notice verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, no idols. Financial commandment number 2. Thou shalt not try to acquire happiness by material things. See, that's all an idol is a material thing. And he said, you start making those things, you're going to miss it. They're not going to make you happy. They're not going to fulfill you. You don't look to things for happiness. It's a commandment. And yet we're structured. Television begs us to understand that happiness lies in what you have. And they put those idols before you. Why? I don't even like Chrysler, and I can watch that Chrysler ad with that black 300 going down that Detroit street and it's smiling at you, and I want one. You say, well, that'd make me happy. No, it doesn't work that way. But won't you agree with me that all of us think just one more thing would do it? You know? It's amazing. Better car, better spouse, a lot of that going around, and it hardly ever works. But see, it's in there. You know, I say, no, nothing but God. But we've got different. All of us have our hearts set on one more thing. And so we get it. We get that dream home. We get that house we wanted. It's going to make us happy. We've got all the bedrooms we need, all the walk-in closets we need, got the nice garages we need, got the porch. I mean, oh, it's going to make us happy. And we're there about 30 days. And we're standing looking out the back door one day, and one of you say to the other one, you know, if we just had a patio out there, we could sit out there and drink our coffee, and that would just make it perfect. So here come the concrete trucks and the expensive labor, and now you've got a patio with your new house. About 30 days pass, and you're standing out there and looking around from your patio. You say, you know, if we had some patio furniture, we'd have it made. So there goes another couple of thousand. We got our patio furniture. I mean, we got swings and slides and chairs and tables. And we got our patio table. We got everything we need to make us happy. And we're sitting there all, we gliding in our glider out there in the early morning sun. And one of you looked at us and said, you know, if we had us a grill sitting right over there, that would really, I mean, that would do it. And so there's another 700-800, and we got the grill now. And you're out there grilling one day, sweating a little bit, looking over there, and she's gliding, and you're sweating. And you say, you know, we got all this backyard here. If we just had a pool, a swimming pool. And so now you've got it all, and you're not one bit happier than you were when you started, but you're a whole lot more in debt. And you've got you an idol, and you are bowing down to it, and it has you in its command, and you can't get away from it. Would you listen to a verse of Scripture? Don't try to explain it. Just listen to it. The wise man said in Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Somebody says, what's that getting at? That's getting at stop the impulse buying. Stop buying everything you see that somebody tells you you need. I know no one's ever been guilty of going down to the Ford house to get your brakes fixed and buying a new car while you're there. After all, I mean, that brake job's going to cost me a couple of $100. I know. That new car is going to cost you $30,000. Let's do some figuring. Huh? It's amazing. There's no happiness in that. Matter of fact, if you'll just wait, it'll pass. That thing you just would die for, if you just wait, you won't die, and it'll go away. Some of you got a bunch of those things you'd die for, and they've beaten you to death. You're going to die for them if you don't get things under control, you see. And so that's just a command of God, just plain, simple command. Thou shalt have no other idols. Let's look at the third commandment, if you would. Come on down if I'd stay over there in my text, to Exodus chapter 20. And come on down to verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Somebody said, well, I'd like to see how that works out financially. Well, it works out pretty good. Here's the commandment. Now watch. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Here's the financial commandment. Thou shalt not be unthankful for whatever standard of living God has provided for you. See, when you become unthankful and ungrateful, you're taking God's name in vain. God, see, we need to understand some stuff here. In vain. Taking God's name in vain. It has to do with a whole lot more than putting a cuss word on the end of God's name. It's putting the works of God out there in vain. Vain selfishness, you see. And our prayers related. And dear Lord, give me this, and give me that, and give me this, and you know I need that, and I need that. That's vain selfishness, you see. And matter of fact, if you'll take the time sometime to study Matthew chapter 6, and you'd be grateful that I'm not going there tonight. But over and over again, the writer inspired of God said, take no thought for what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall wear. Don't get all caught up in that. That's not what you want to spend your life doing, you see. And yet, that's what most of us live for, what we can get. We're not concerned about what we can give. We're concerned about, let's get honest. It hurts. Let's get it over with. We live for what we can get out of it. And God's trying to turn it around. Look, you and I, just lump us together. We live better than 3/4 of the world lives. And complain about it, and murmur about it, and fuss about it, and divorce over it. It's terrible. It's terrible. You say, well, it's not that big a deal. Well, look over in Romans chapter 1. We'll deal with it a little bit. Romans chapter 1. You really ought to find it. It's quite. See, we get to Romans chapter 1, we got one thing on our mind. Well, let's look at the whole thing. I mean, I'm just going to look at a verse, but there's more there than God giving that wicked bunch up for their wicked acts. There was a way that all started. Someone said, I don't see how anybody can get in that kind of a mess. Anybody here don't know what kind of mess I'm talking about in Romans 1? You know. All right, look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now watch carefully and mark it. Neither were thankful, but became, what's that word? Vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They went into deception, and unthankfulness opened the door for it. Their vainness opened the door for it. Turn on over while you're in that mode to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you get there before I do, you just wait on me. I'm hunting it. It's over there in the New Testament, isn't it? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now I want you to, now you're so familiar with this that you're going to sit there and not pay attention. Do not let familiarity with it steal this away. Watch. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's the word? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, watch it, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What a list that is. What a horrible list that is, and unthankfulness opens the door to it. We have to stop it. You ought never murmur about the standard of living God has provided for you. You ought never complain about it. You ought to be thankful for it. Someone says, well, I'm not thankful. Well, practice being thankful. You know, there ought to be some thankfulness out there. Practice thanksgiving for what you have. What you don't have is because of your mismanagement of what you do have. See, God didn't make that mess. You and I make those financial messes. God doesn't have anything to do with that. And the mismanagement of finances, would you listen? Your pastor and I have not discussed this. He'll verify it. He'll verify most of it. The mismanagement of finances causes, number one, marriage problems. More than anything, almost. It causes emotional problems. Sure it will. It causes physical problems. Make you sick. It causes you then to get angry with God. Oh yeah, when you start murmuring, that's who you're mad at. When you start fussing about you, see, and you can't pay your bills. God's not responsible for that. He didn't create that. And there's no overnight solution. But now you can get peace and joy very quickly by confessing to God the mess you made and that you made it and that it's your responsibility to straighten it out. Peace and joy come quickly. Financial stability may take a little while, but you can get in on it, you see. I mean, we got folks with car notes higher than house payments. It's crazy. Somebody said, what should I do? I'd sell that baby. Somebody said, I'm upside down in it. Lose the money then. And then buy you a car you can afford. Why in the world would somebody buy a car they can't afford? You say, well, they told me I could afford it. They asked me how much I made, and I told them, I said, well, you can afford this. And they gave me the payment, and it was only 84 payments. That's longer than some of you are going to live. Buy a car, you can pay. Get your finances in order. Somebody said, I don't know how. Here comes the lesson. You ready? Why don't you jot them down just in case your mind's bad. Number one, you don't get your finances in order? Number one, don't buy anything. That's not a necessity. Somebody said, I can do that, really? That means, A, no more eating out. I promise you, the majority of folks who eat out don't have a clue how much they're spending. If they did, they'd die. I mean, it's horrible, you see. No entertainment. Somebody said, what do you mean, no entertainment? Oh, no movie rentals. Now, I'm talking to folks who are in financial trouble. No cable television. No satellite. You know, you can't spend $70, $100 a month when you can't pay your bills for that. Hang on, teenagers. No smartphones. $100 a month so you can play games. And I don't, since our governor messed up, I never know whether you tweeter or Twitter. But don't. Dump it. Dump it. Get your telephone. Now, you'll have to fight up there to get one, but they got some telephones up there. That make telephone calls. Get you a jitterbug. All the old folks know what it is. It's a telephone. Now listen, no more clothes when you've already got more clothes than you can wear. This is not going well at all, is it? This will save your life. This will save you and get you in a good relationship with God. Get your finances in order. Just stop that. You know, I know ladies don't have anything to do today, but just go to the manicurist and the pedicurist. We were somewhere, I can't tell you where now. It was locally. Just a few weeks ago, I can't tell you what week, because you look on the website and know who it was. One and I were in the church, and we sat there in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher just ripped us up and down. Us being everybody in the 40 acres. I mean, modesty, you know. You gotta live right for your children. I was amening all of it. You know. He just being mean. Well, the preacher got up to preach after a while, and he turned around to that fella and he said, did you tell him about getting your pedicure the other day? I just wished I hadn't heard it, because he introduced me to preach and I had this vivid picture in my mind of this guy that had just ripped me up about being modest sitting there in front of that oriental lady with his britches legs rolled up above his knees, his feet stuck over in that little jacuzzi, giggling every once in a while, and ripping me up about being modest. Huh? Now again, hey, now listen. If you got more money than you can spend, and you're doing with your money what God wants you to do, get you a pedicure anytime you want to. I can't imagine you wanting to, but if you want to, get you one. Get you a pedicure, get you a manicure in time you want one. If you got the money and you're doing what God wants you to. But it's amazing how much money we spend on stuff that's not essential, it's not necessary. And what we need to do is let God get in charge of our finances. He won't hurt you. He'll get you out there where you can be free. Two simple things that have to happen. Number one, you know, if you want to have a breakthrough financially, number one, faith and works. You have to believe what the Bible says about it. And then number two, you have to go to work on it. Believe and work. See? Just commandments. Commandment number one, honor the Lord first. There's not a bit of need of you messing around with it if God's not getting the first fruits of all thy substance, you know, the all of it. See, there are a lot of good people who will tell you, well, I tithe. And And maybe they think they do, but they don't, because they don't tithe off everything. Everything. So you put the Lord first, tithes and offerings. Number two, just get over it. Don't try to acquire happiness through things. It's not going to happen. What did the preacher sing last night? You want happiness? He's all I need. That's joy and peace and happiness, you see. So you don't try to acquire happiness by material things. Stop the buying. Just shut it down. And number three, don't be unthankful for the standard of living God has provided for you up to this point. Start practicing thankfulness for what you have. You'll be amazed at what happens. You'll be amazed how long it takes to get over the withdrawals from throwing money away. When you stop impulse buying, when you stop this, you stop. Oh, yeah. See, we've been programmed. But there are these commandments that are eternal. And, you know, it's pretty simple. I mean, you're reading them with me. I read them to you again. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He's got to be first. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. No idols. Nothing that we're trying to live for or to make us happy. No. And number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Unthankfulness. Vanity. Opens the door to all those wicked things we read about. And so tonight would be a good night just to get him first and start working on the other two. Would you bow your head, please? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Christians are praying. We're going to have our invitation, just like we will every night. It's not time to be making commitments.